Thy glory fills the night. Thy face and garments like the sun shine with unborrowed light. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here, thy beauty.
The congregation is invited to stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Why do the nations rage?
And the peoples plot in vain.
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together.
Against the Lord and against his anointed, saying,
Let us burst their bonds apart.
And cast away their cords from us.
He who sits in the heavens laughs.
The Lord holds them in derision.
Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying,
As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.
I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, You are my son. Today I have forgotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage.
And the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron.
And dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise.
Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear.
And rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way.
For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimonies of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven.
through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame out of fire, out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and shall the children and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you, that I have sent you, that when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. That's a mistake. 2 Peter chapter 1. From 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the bright morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel from St. Matthew chapter 17, starting at verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. We focus on the transfiguration of Jesus today, the gospel reading. To start, I read the testimony from Peter, from the epistle reading, 2 Peter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Christians don't have to wear the sunglasses. Jesus' divine brightness and glory was seen that day, but not the days before and not the days after. It was a different day, a special vision God gave Peter and James and John. And it's very helpful for us to remember what was happening before this day and after this day. What was the point? What was the glory that was happening here? Now, I have written down there on the back, very back page, a few notes. This transfiguration is recorded in Matthew chapter 17. Right before this, several things happen. Matthew chapter 16, several things happened. That was where Jesus said to the disciples, "Who do people say that I am? John the Baptist, one of the prophets." They say various things. And then Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And I have written down there from the scriptures, Matthew 16, starting at verse 16, "Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ." Peter's confession that Jesus was the promised Savior, the Christ, was correct. And it was not a man-made idea, Jesus said. "It is revealed to you from heaven." You're right, Peter, exactly right. And this confession that this Jesus of Nazareth is Christ will stand forever. Not even the gates of hell stands against it. Now, if you continue in that chapter, right after that confession of faith, Jesus starts, he says, starts to teach that the Christ must suffer, die, and rise again. And I have it just paraphrased there or shortened there. Peter rebuked. Now he rebuked Jesus. "Jesus, don't talk like that." "No, yeah, I said you're the Christ, but you're not. You can't talk about suffering and dying." "No." And Jesus rebuked Peter back. And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." The things of God were that the Christ would suffer and die. The things of man was some other idea that Peter had. And then there's a section that Jesus teaches his disciples that whoever must be saved must follow him even to death. Whoever would follow Jesus must take up his own cross and die for the sake of Jesus. Not only did he say, "Peter, stop your talking, I will die, I will rise again." Not only did he say that to Peter, but he said, "And you also will follow me and be willing to give up your life." Although it happened, and Jesus looked normal, not bright and shiny, normal. The next thing that happens is this transfiguration. So Peter and the other disciples said he is the Christ. That was right, revealed to them from God. But Peter did not like hearing that the Christ must suffer and die. No. But Jesus said, "No, you're wrong, Peter. I will suffer and die. And in fact, you, for my name, will suffer." Then the transfiguration. Then the sunglasses day. And he chose these three disciples to go up the mountain and see him. And Moses and Elijah were there from hundreds of years beforehand. Interestingly, if you remember your Old Testament stories, Elijah did not die. He went to heaven in a fiery chariot, straight to heaven. And Moses, it says that at the end of Deuteronomy, towards the end of Deuteronomy, it says, God buried Moses. That's all it says. Something different or special, or that's what Joshua recorded. But they appear with Jesus. And now Jesus is bright. And there are, it's a wonder. Make it stay like this, Jesus. Let's put up a tent for you three. Let's stay like this. Maybe it's so bright he wanted them in the tent. Luke records in the Transfiguration that Jesus and Moses and Elijah were talking about Jesus' departure into Jerusalem. His departure. Jesus and Moses and Elijah were talking about Jesus' death and resurrection. And the Father says, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The Christ in glory. The Christ in glory talks about his death and resurrection, his departure. What is the glory of Jesus? It is to save people. Peter, beforehand, he said Jesus was the Christ, but he wanted Jesus to be a king or overthrow the Romans or bring Israel back to glory or whatever he was thinking. He was not thinking about Jesus suffering and dying and rising again. But that was foremost in Jesus' mind. That is his glory. You notice, if some of you read the township news, I wrote about this. And these words are amazing words. When the Father spoke to them, this is my Son, with whom I'm well pleased, listen to him. I think it's Mark records they fainted, they fell down here. It was too much. You want proof of God on all his glory? You can't take it. Not even sunglasses will be enough. You'll have to fall down. And they were afraid. But then after the Father gives a testimony and witnesses to Jesus that this is the one, this is my Son, listen to him. What does Jesus do? It disappears. He brings them up. And he says, rise and don't be afraid. And then those words. And they saw Jesus only. They saw Jesus. The Father wanted their attention on Jesus Christ, who, yes, had all power and glory and authority. But even in the shining glory and authority, he spoke about his departure, his suffering and death and resurrection. That was Jesus' focus, is to save sinners. Not for sinners to remain terrified and afraid, but to save them. And when his three disciples saw all that glory and heard the voice, they fell down. He says, don't be afraid. He is the glorious Jesus, yes, but he is the Jesus who saves and who is gentle and who took our place, suffering for our sins. Think about it. In this reading, in Matthew, what are the first words that Jesus says
after the Father spoke. The Father said,
"This is my..." Well, I'm going to get it right. I'll read it directly.
"Voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.'"
Listen to him.
Big voice. And what does he say? "Rise and have no fear." Think about when you wear sunglasses the next time. That bright shining Jesus. And after the bright shining Jesus was dimmed away, he looked normal again. He said, "Rise, have no fear." We pray. Dear Lord Jesus, take our fears away. Give us faith to know and trust above all things that you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and even our Savior. But in all your glory and power, you speak to us to rise and have no fear. Help us to believe those words from you and then to follow you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior. Amen.
At this time, we stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation is maybe seated. The officers, the new officers of the congregation, all the names are listed in the bulletin there, are invited to come up, and we'll make a large... Let's make two lines. Come all the way up, some closer to the rail, and some further back, but up on the step. The congregation can follow along. There is a part for you to say, a brief part that is printed out. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. And in so doing, the Church follows the example of the early Christian Church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, with whom we appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." You have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility at Zion Lutheran Church. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word, according with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
To the congregation, beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers of Zion Lutheran Church. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work may be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of Zion Lutheran Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and for the good of his people. Amen.
Amen.
We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them, by your Holy Spirit, those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. I will be glad when this is over. Thank you for being willing to serve, and for being willing to serve longer, those of you who have stayed on. And thank you to those, I think it's, you've come back. And Tony, Randy Miller.
Dan
Ludeman, thank you to Dan. Thank you to Randy. And that's it. All right. So thank you for those who have served. Thank you for serving another year. part of what I said there, read there, this is taken right out of our agenda of the Lutheran Service Book, is that, and you do this very well, and those have gone before, have done this very well, to keep the services going here, to keep the Word of God going here, to keep the Bible studies going here, to keep the help for the poor and needy going here. And that's a challenge sometimes. And you know, I cannot, and you don't think this, and it's never been implied that I need to do everything myself. You don't behave that way. This congregation doesn't behave that way. You take it up. And I've always been impressed since I've known you for taking up these responsibilities. Thank you for, again, taking up that oath to do that. And when there's ideas, when there's problems, and I can be of help or I am the problem, let me know. Talk through issues. And we have already many times. But I encourage you to be forthright, to be humble, to be serving, to do what, to say what needs to be said and to do what needs to be done. This is part of working together in the congregation. So thank you for taking that oath, and I'll be looking forward to you doing it. You doing it. And congregation, you see the leaders that are elected before you too. And so if you have questions or suggestions or whatever, and you don't feel like, I don't want to talk to pastor about this, or at least not first, talk to one of these folks. Talk to one of these folks. They've said they will take up some responsibilities. So you can talk to me directly, but you can talk to these folks too. That's your pep talk. Thanks for coming up. You can go and sit down, and then we'll continue with the prayers. We stand for the prayers of Zion Lutheran Church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the baptized, that we would heed our Heavenly Father's admonition to listen to His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, as He speaks to us through His holy word and sacraments, and that we would, by grace through faith, behold Him in His glory as He continues to tabernacle among us, delivering forgiveness, life, and salvation through the same. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are called and ordained to serve in Christ's stead and by His command, that all their preaching and teaching would flow from the right understanding that all Holy Scripture testifies of Christ and all that He has done and continues to do for our eternal salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For parents in every Christian home, that they would pass on the faith to their children by word and deed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have been placed in authority over us, including President Biden, recently inaugurated as our president, that they would serve with integrity and honor, having the welfare of all in their mind, and for our country, that division, conflict, and strife would give way to unity, peace, and quietness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Lord's flock here at Zion Lutheran Church, that we would be granted faithfulness, humility, and patience in our various vocations. Striving to love God and neighbor in all that we say and do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are sick, hospitalized, recovering, enduring ongoing treatment or suffering in any way, remember especially Margaret and Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Isaac, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bryston, Bill, Jason, Lori, Sue, Deborah, David, Brian, Gary, Keith, Dave, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. We remember the family of Mary Hesterman, that they may be comforted knowing that those all who die in Christ are with Christ. And also giving thanks to God for the new baby son, Micah Theodore, to Pastor Scott and Rebecca Johnson. That all would know your peace and receive healing and relief according to your gracious will. And we pray for those who mourn, that they may be comforted by the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. We pray Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things.
Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer.
And let my cry come to you.
We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer.
And let my cry come to you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.